But let's face it, if your home is not on this earth, and you tell the world that this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and you become the personification of that message, let me ask this question. How will you live your life? If you can afford everything in this life. Which is why I always emphasize, there's nothing wrong with wealth, but it's how we relate to wealth. Do you realize that it sometimes is a greater testimony? If you can afford lots of luxuries and you choose not to use your affordability that way, but you choose to live moderately and use the rest for God, it is a greater testimony to your message that you're bringing forth. Because that's the message that people are getting. So there needs to be a detachment from this world. And the saddest thing is this. Unless we are detached from this world, we cannot be given and inheriting this world. It's a paradox. For God cannot entrust us with the headship on this earth. He said, you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall lend and you shall not borrow. All the wealth of the world He places in our hands. The wealth of the sinner will become in the hands of the righteous. Unless we are detached from the world, God cannot entrust us with the riches of this life. And that is why I call it true Christianity. There are many types of Christianity, but true Christianity is this. Let me emphasize, it's learning how to live a balanced life on this earth. No doubt if you got family, you got loved ones, you got to take care, you must be responsible for them and take care of them. You need to. And so I always emphasize that in this life, we got to work out how God wants to live this life. And our choices, the small little choices you make in what you want out of this life. For me, if God provides clothing, shelter, transportation, and just sufficient money, sufficient pocket money, it's like Paul, you learn to be satisfied in all things. Not that you do not have a big vision. You can have a big vision. But which is a greater testimony? Where Jesus, who can afford everything in this life, but when He came, Jesus was the only one who chose where He was to be born. The rest of us didn't choose. Jesus had a choice where He was to be born. And He chose a manger. What does that say to us who follow Jesus? If you can choose, most of us may not be at a level to choose. But I believe that God is going to bless every single one of us as we walk in God. And I always emphasize, true Christianity is this. When you can choose to own a Lamborghini, and you choose a Honda or something, That speaks something to the world. Correct. That speaks something to the world. Of course, some prosperity preachers will run away with the fact, God wants me to be the head and not the tail. Please, bring that statement to the cross of Calvary. And see whether when you face Jesus Christ face to face, you can say to Jesus, Jesus, I will glorify you by spending $500,000 on a Rolls Royce. Or by saying, Jesus, I could spend, let's say, $40,000 to $50,000 on a car, and the $450,000, I'm going to do something for your kingdom. Let's be true to ourselves, true Christians. Which would glorify Jesus more? Yes, I understand. Jesus wouldn't care what kind of car you drive to a certain extent. But to another extent, He is concerned in your choices and how it's working in your heart. Now, look at it very carefully in Matthew 6, how it is phrased in verse 21. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you realize that it's put backwards in many of our sayings? Most of the time we understand, we read that verse and this is what we understand. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Isn't that what we read? We read that one and we say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. No, that's not what it says. Read again. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. That's telling us that when we constantly make the wrong choices and become more and more attached to the world, we become worldly. Now, true Christianity is this, that we are different from the world. We are in the world geographically and positionally, but not of the world. Let me give another strong scripture here to emphasize what true Christianity is. In the book of 1 John, the world will never comprehend when you have so many needs around us and you have so many people who need help, how someone who believes in Jesus and becomes a multimillionaire would want to spend most of their money on luxuries while half the world is suffering in need and lack and do not have food, clothing and shelter. And if I were to ask that rich Christian and said, sir, if you were Jesus, what would you do? You know what Jesus would do? Okay, imagine right now that Jesus was a rich man. And he's about to follow his father to do a work to save the world. What do you think Jesus would do? You know, I can guess it. He will give everything away and walk on in God. Wouldn't he do that? I got a feeling that that's what Jesus would do. However, Jesus doesn't ask that of every one of us, because unlike Jesus, some of us have homes, a wife, a spouse and family and children. So he doesn't want us to neglect our responsibility. But at the same time, we must not neglect the fact that this Jesus whom we follow has set such high standards. Let's not be polluted, quote unquote, by worldly Christianity. The reason why Christianity is no more powerful and doesn't seem to change this world anymore is because it has become no different from the world. The only way you can change the world is by being different from the world. When you become like what you're trying to change, where is the change? And if we don't preserve our differences from the world, if we don't recognize where we want ought to be different from the world in our choices, in all that we do, then we're not going to have an impact in the world. And every single one of us, no matter what status you're in, need to always ask this question. If Jesus were living my life right now, what would the choices be that I have to make in this life? And then do it with all your heart. And God will protect us from a little miss and misses here and there, little imperfections, but generally you find a difference that the glory of God is behind you. And this message is important because one fine day when everything in this world passes away, just as we see, fires can just wipe out everything you have in this life. Homes have been burned recently. And then you look, how much of this life is just for this life? And how much is this life is for the next life? I have a few heroes in God who follow God. People like John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth and people who really are followers of God. One of my favorite people that I always like to emulate, you know, as God enables, is a guy named Sadhu Sundar Singh. He was a very an apostle, I would say, to India. And you know, when he walked the walk and lived his life, his ministry reached many nations, and he owned only 2 sets of clothing and 1 pair of sandals. That's all he owned.
Wow, wouldn't it be nice?
Think about it. I know many of us are not possible to follow it, but think about it. Isn't that a nice feeling there? And think about just coming to know the Lord. Hallelujah. And just entering the glory of God. And when we all go to the other shore, we realize that everything that you deny yourself in this life is multiplied up there. Someone says, you cannot bring all that you have in this life to heaven. Incorrect. Jesus says you can. Otherwise, he will not say, lay not up treasures on this earth, but in heaven above. You can. By using it for others. Or giving it to others. You lay your treasures in heaven. So he has given us a method how to deposit what we have into heaven. He has. By having a generous heart. That's the way to deposit our treasures in heaven. This to me is true Christianity. Now, I want to read 1 John chapter 2, where it says in verse 15 to 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, I believe that God calls some people into the ministry of giving, of wealth. But before those people ascend into those areas, God will test their heart and prove their heart. And a lot of what you see around us as people with so-called ministry of giving, some of it is not really. To me, the true ministry of giving is not just in what the person gave, but in the lifestyle that the person chooses, in spite of his ability. It's just like you could afford to be a king and you choose to live as a commoner. That shows the spirit of giving. Not just what you actually give. Because a lot of what people actually give is given out of their affordability, not out of sacrifice. But when you begin to sacrifice in order to serve God, that's where the ministry of giving comes. And there is no end to what God will do in your life. Look at it. For Jesus, for many of us, our bank accounts are here and there. But for Jesus, his bank account is everywhere. When he needs a donkey was there. When he needs a room was there. When he needs to pay taxes, where is his bank? In some fish somewhere in the lake. The whole world was his. And he had no shortage. Because Jesus lived that lifestyle. So we have here in Matthew chapter 5, the being, which is must be from our heart. Matthew chapter 6, detachment from the world. We must be detached from the world in order to control the world. In order to inherit the world. In order to be those whom God chooses to be the head and not the tail in this life. And I pray that as God raises more and more people to understand this word, we will never forget what true Christianity is. The true Christianity is denying ourselves when we are able to afford more and we choose to live averagely and choose to use the rest for the kingdom of God. And that's true Christianity. And then in chapter 7, it tells us that true Christianity is visible by our actions. Not just what we think we want to be, not just what we hope to do, but we are where we are based on the actions today. It tells us here, in our relationship to one another, it says in verse 1 to 6, that basically we are not to judge one another. The reason being is because when you're looking at the Lord, you will never be judging anybody else. And he basically summarized this word and saying that everyone needs to judge themselves in God, in God's presence. Then it tells us in verse 7 to verse 12, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. And he talked about the generosity of the Father to us.